All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do I do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Avoiding all known forms of psychobabble. Lowest percentage of psychological cliches in media. 2.64%. Why, you might ask, is it not zero? Because we don't have the technology to separate out homonyms. If I say something like, I was listening to a song by Sonny and Cher. Well, the gauge picks up Cher. And they don't know whether it is, I'd like to share a bit of my feelings. They don't know that. So they aren't good yet. We're working on the technology. But at this point, I can commit to you, minimal psychobabble. I will not be comfortable with where you're coming from. I can't go with that. Not too many uh-huhs. Ooh, I see. You ever notice I don't do that? Get a lot of folks who aren't psychologists to do that. And their timing's terrible. You got to be trained to know exactly when to say, ooh. You can't just fling them in at random, because then you're agreeing to something you maybe shouldn't agree with. You got to be highly trained. You folks can't see me nodding my head when you say stuff either. I do nod my head. You can't see it. It's there. The number to get onto the program, 877-57-EQUAL. Notice I didn't even say the numbers. I just said the acronymically translation. That's just a bumbling, stumbling use of grammar. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Diligently trying to avoid you-knows, I-means, likes, all those embolalias that they are called, still fall into it. There'll be times at the end of a sentence I'll say, okay, not really asking if it's okay. Maybe I'm asking, do you understand? I've even seen that with cops. Have you noticed that? I watch a lot of these live cop shows. The cops will do this. If they're interrogating someone, they'll say something like, well, I see that you are telling us something not true, okay? Can you put your hands behind your back, please? You're under arrest, okay? It's like they're asking someone to agree with this. And they typically don't ask them to agree with stuff that they would agree with. Would you like a blueberry milkshake, okay? No, it's you are now under arrest, okay? Nevertheless, I digress. 877-57-EQUAL, that's the number to call. I'm a psychologist. I was at the office this morning. Still spend a lot of time at the office. People ask, do you see folks? Yeah, I do. I do see folks here in my office in North Canton, Ohio, where I've been for more years than I tend to count. But here on the program, we can educate, give a few ideas, a few thoughts, maybe put our heads together, see if we can come up with something. You know, we're not doing therapy here. Can't unravel all of the threads that are making this cloth of your life. However, you notice, ooh, did you like that analogy? However, ooh, that's a good questioner, Michael. Yeah, I'd like that. That's a great question. I can tell already that's going to be a look-back question. But we can talk about things between two of us that might help. 877-57-EQUAL. Many years ago, I took a 6-day course, a 5-day course, by a fellow who is probably the highest profile expert in ADHD. He was someone who was respected, and his presentation surrounded the idea that ADHD is the tail end of the temperamental continuum. Well, we all have our own struggles with attention and with impulse and with distractibility. But when it gets extreme, when it's at the far end, 3 to 5% bottom of the temperamental continuum, it gets a diagnosis because it can interfere with performance, living life, academics in young kids. As I listen to this, I forget exactly where this came up, but somehow they got wind. One of the fellows that was one of his associates got wind that I talked about a confounding factor. This, man, keep in mind, this is 20, 25 years ago. Yeah, I know. I was speculating on this when I was in high school. And I said, given the hyperstimulation, this is before smartphones, of kids' lives now, with computers, with television who flickers every 4 seconds in its images. Watch a commercial, man. That commercial is nothing but a flickering bunch of images. I said, could that not confound the whole diagnosis of ADHD for some kids? Is it possible that when you immerse a kid in a hyper-stimulating, fast-paced, video cocaine environment, it could make this child look like he has attention problems, perhaps impulse problems, distractibility problems? Why? Because where he's placed in school, which by its context is relatively slow-moving, he could look like, I can't attend to this. Well, I got skewered. Yeah, one of his associates called me, read me the riot act, basically said, how dare you say that? We know that ADHD is a neurologically based developmental disorder. That's what it is. You cannot create kind of an ADHD picture by external causes. Ooh. Well, since then, however, the research has gathered momentum, saying, yes, you can. Some researchers go so far as to say there is actual neurological changes in the brain that makes it less able, neurologically speaking, to attend, to pay attention for any reasonable amount of time. Others will say it may not make exact structural neurological changes, but it does confuse the picture. You got a kid who spends his life scrolling, sees nothing but flickering images, and then you put him in a classroom? Do you expect him to be better or worse at sustaining attention? The mass. Look around you at mass. 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. Do some of them look like they're standing there as though pillars of salt? Staring straight ahead? Dulled out? Why would that be? If you can assume that their lives are pretty full of entertaining, fast-paced stuff. Father, who week after week, in many respects, says the same consistently beautiful prayers, looks like he's in slow motion. Lift up your hearts. And I can almost hear the kids thinking, come on, man. Who writes his monologue? Get him to do something. What is this? Pick up the pace. I heard this last week. Compared to their lives outside of mass regarding entertainment and stimulation, mass is the most slow-moving in their minds. If they don't understand why they're there, it just becomes a very sluggish environment. It's like, yeah, okay, whoa. And then when they're old enough, I stop going. Why? That's just boring. A priest from Africa told me once that many of the people in the villages would walk several miles to go to Mass. And they did not want a 6-minute homily. They wanted it to be worth their time. Now, why is this? Well, I think you can safely assume that they don't have the kind of stimulation that we have. Although, stop. When my wife went to Ethiopia, she was surprised at how many people had smartphones already. Even though they may have lived in a hut, they had a smartphone. Western technology infuses. Given that, you got to know what the Mass is about if you're a kid, because if you don't, it just comes across for you as the slowest thing. When compared to the other stuff that goes on in your life. This is why teachers feel so frustrated, because they're told relentlessly, you have to make learning fun. You have to make learning entertaining. And these poor teachers are doing jumping jacks up there trying to get the kids to pay attention when these kids are living on a diet of fast-paced, flickering stimulation, and they're sitting in a classroom and the teacher is trying to talk to them. So, well, our anonymous just dropped on that ADHD question, but that's a good question. So indeed, the research is coming out that the more stuff that the kids are exposed to, stimulating, high-speed, relentless tsunami, makes it very much harder to sustain attention and to absorb information that might be coming in through their ears. One of my favorite quotes is from a guy named Ravi Zacharias. He was a once upon a time apologist for Christianity. And that was, he said, how do you reach a people who hear with their eyes and who think with their emotions? 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number. Let's talk.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Grandy, host of The Doctor, is in Ave Maria Radio for 20 years. I've been with them, and during that time, I've watched them spread our precious faith to anyone, anywhere. Well, also in that time, their equipment, the equipment that they had is cutting edge, no longer is cutting edge. It's kind of like an iPhone 5. We need your help. We absolutely need your help. Visit AveMariaRadio.net. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about the moral life. It's no secret that the world we live in challenges us in our beliefs every day. The culture paints God as a rule-mandating enemy and not as our loving Father. God knows what's best for us and has given us the freedom to choose. And one of those choices is whether or not to live a moral life. Join us this week as Father John shows us what the moral life looks like and how to live it out. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
Better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure. Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Having an in-body experience as we speak. I feel like I'm trapped inside my head, looking out through my eyes. What a weird feeling that is. All right, nice to have you here. Let's go to Michael from Spokane. I like to say Spokane because it makes me sound cosmopolitan, because it's so easy to say Spokane. But spoken. I'm spoken right. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dr. A, thanks for taking my call today. Home of Bing Crosby, by the way, too. But I am one of your 323 loyal people listening to you on the radio.
Well, I don't want to argue with you, Michael. We've lost a lot. It's down to about 180 now. 180.
You know. I don't think so. You're on over 400 stations. You've written a number of books. So my question is on humor and how it can help a person. I watch Gilligan's Island. I watch Hogan's Heroes, Colonel Clink, No One Escapes, Gunsmoke. So how can humor help people in life? And I also went to confession this morning.
Well, that'll help a lot. There's several levels to humor's help. I mean, obviously, whole books have been written on this, Michael. I think the best kind of humor is self-effacing humor. If you can tease yourself, if you can laugh at yourself, that indicates a couple of things. One, you're pretty comfortable in your own skin. You're not insecure. Two, that your value comes from God. It doesn't come from being hypersensitive to somebody teasing you. So I think the kind of humor that allows you to laugh at yourself is great humor. Plus, it's very appealing to other people. They like to hear somebody who can have a good joke at his own expense. That's great stuff. Two, and this is where humor helps me. If I didn't have humor, my life would be full of people's troubles. That's all I'd hear. Tragedy, sadness, all of that. So I got to counterbalance it by just having fun. When I go out with my friends, I usually don't talk heavy stuff. I yuck around. I have a good time. Why? Because it's fun, that's all. It's just fun. And it lifts my spirit. Now, that said, not everybody has the ability to either get jokes or give jokes. They don't. All right? But that still means you can find the fun, the humor, in other stuff. I love listening to comedians. They've got great stuff. They've got insights into human nature. That's the thing about good humor. Good humor has truth to it. You'll notice that. For example, I'll give you a Stephen Wright joke. And here's the grain of truth to it. Okay. Stephen Wright says, I got stopped by a cop the other day. He said, you ran a stop sign. Didn't you see it? I said, yeah. But I don't believe everything I read. Now, that's funny. That is just funny. Because people don't believe everything they read, but yet you see a stop sign, I don't believe everything I read. Okay? So there's an element of truth. You know, he'll say, I went to a 7-Eleven. The guy was locking the door. I said, hey, your sign says open 24 hours. He says, yeah, but not in a row. There's just truth to that. You know, you never thought, nobody would ever think, oh yeah, when it says open 24 hours, you don't think, yeah, but when those 24 hours?
I like it.
You know? So there's an element of just, I saw once where they said, comedians generally are very intelligent people. because they have the ability to look at life in a way that is skewed toward funny.
Yeah.
They then said, very intelligent people are not necessarily good comedians.
Uh-huh.
Robin Williams. Yeah. Robin Williams was so loose.
Yeah.
He was completely loose the way he looked at life. Same with Jonathan Winters. He was the original Robin Williams. Yeah, you know Jonathan Winters. I mean, he's just funny because they have the ability to look at things in a way that when you hear it, you go, yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that's funny.
Don Rickles.
Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield. He said, yeah, I'll tell you, I got lost on the beach. I went up to a cop. I said, hey, you think we can find my parents? And the cop said, I don't know, kid. There's so many places they could hide. And you wouldn't immediately think of that. As soon as you hear, you think we'll find my parents, you figure the cop's going to go, well, we're going to look. We're going to try to find your parents. No, I don't know, kid. There's so many places they could hide. So, laughing is contagious, Michael. It's just contagious.
It is. Yeah.
What is it about listening to a baby laugh that makes people laugh?
Right.
When you see a little kid just bust out, a little 6-month-old, 8-month-old, 10-month-old, bust out laughing, just belly laugh with a guffaw that is just totally let it loose. You laugh. You just laugh.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
There's something God wired into us. I think it's one of his gifts to us. So there's my rambling dissertation on some of the aspects of humor.
That's great.
All right, let me give you one more Stephen Wright. You ready?
Okay.
I asked my girlfriend's dad, what time do I have to have her home? He said, 8:15. I said, great. August 15th.
And then there was silence. I love it. I love it. That's great.
Well, you think, you know, 8:15, of course, we think 8:15, or our mind goes immediately to the clock.
Time.
But there is a parallel to August 15th, and you don't think of it that way. And without Stephen Wright telling you that, you probably never would have ever had that thought. 8:15 and 8:15 are related that way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're awesome, Doctor.
Thanks, great. Michael. I appreciate it, buddy. All right, you take good care. I got to write that down for effective humor on life. I got to write that down for future look back. 877-573-7825. Okay, well, I just have been informed by my friend, Andrew Krucek, my producer man, that I will, there's an affiliate in Belmont, North Carolina. We have an affiliate. But he said, now, it's only 50 miles from Charlotte. It's a radio station at Belmont Abbey's College. Okay, that's the radio station. We don't really know what they actually air, so we don't know if they air me, but I'm going to go down there. If you're interested at all, we got a men's conference, men's gathering down there this Saturday at, it's just right outside of Charlotte. You go to my website, drray.com, if you're at all interested, if you're in that area and you want to show up, it's just an evening thing. So just make a quick announcement on that. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number. I'd love to hear from you. We've got the bottom of the show coming up. Comes up real fast, especially when I ramble around. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. See what we can talk about. Some open lines. Doesn't typically happen. but it looks like Eric's doing some call screaming up there. Haven't mentioned this. It's getting close. August 19th and 20th. Good Lord permitting, we will be taping four shows. Living Right with Dr. A, the first four shows of season number 15. Season number 14 is starting to air now, and they are all new and original. Sometimes people say, wait a minute, I saw that before. Yeah, because EWTN will rerun certain episodes, but these will be new, and you can be in the audience, and we would love you to be in the audience. The audience, when I first approached EWTN with this show idea, I said, can we have an audience? That's what I do for a living. I speak, and an audience will make it possible to do all kinds of things that we couldn't do if it was just me, a talking head with other talking heads. And they said, yes, let's do that. So I thank EWTN, but your audience is the energy of the show. So when we go to a different affiliate city, like Buffalo, they are very responsive. They put out a lot of folks in that audience. And when that audience is big, the clapping sounds loud. Now, they don't clap on their own. They clap because we tell them to. And sometimes we have to pay them. Sometimes it gets expensive. But, nevertheless, if you'd like to be part of the audience, August 19th and 20th in Buffalo, New York, WNED is the downtown PBS affiliate. Beautiful studio there. They have plenty of room for us. Got a lot of people coming in, and we'd love to have you. 5 and 7:15 are the shows both nights, the 19th, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 20th. Also, Father Larry Richards, he's a favorite. He's coming in from Erie, which isn't all that far from Buffalo. He'll be there August 19th for both shows, live in Poison. And I'll have some fun with Father Larry. I've already got some stuff cooked up. So, if you'd like to be part of it, you go to The Station of the Cross, one big long word, no spaces, .com, and you can sign up. One show, two shows, three shows, four shows. If you stay for two, we can feed you in between. We'll be there. We'll have a lot of fun. What else is happening? Got some great guests, some really, really touching guests, as well as your audience questions, and I've got some audience bits set up. So, love to have you. A quick call from a grandma who did not want to stay on the air. She said her granddaughter has ADHD. All right. It's better to say her granddaughter has been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder by someone. That's probably the more accurate thing to say. Because when you say she has ADHD, it makes it sound like there's this affliction that she caught or that she's exhibiting. Grandma says her parents give her tablets and all kinds of video stuff all the time. So which came first? The chicken or the egg? In other words, are they saying, now again, I don't know the age of this young lady. Are they saying that because she has such problems in focusing? Now, keep in mind, there's different manifestations of attention problems. There's the impulse kind, and then there's the distractibility, semi-spacey kind. If, in fact, she's kind of drifting, she doesn't hold attention, age appropriately. Now, that's big, age appropriately. If you have someone who's 9 years old but has the developmental maturity of a 7.5-year-old, then you look at her ability to attend as if she were 7.5, not as if she were 9. But that said, they give her these things. Is that to keep her occupied? Is that because that's the only thing she'll pay attention to for any length of time? Or has she developed this kind of reluctance or inability or incapacity to attend for any period of time? There's absolutely no question. The tsunami of stimulation that assaults our children, and virtually every teacher I've talked to has said, and if they've been in the business 30-plus years, the radical difference, the radical difference between kids' attentions, abilities 30 years ago and now. So did everybody start to develop ADHD because it was a neurological problem? Or is there some factor that's also playing into this? And the teachers are frustrated. So I better, I got time. I'm going to go to Therese from Covenant Network in St. Louis, Mo. Hi, Therese.
Hi. Thank you for answering my call.
Sure, thank you.
The other day you were talking to someone about the difference between mental disorder and mental illness.
Yes.
And I was wondering, which one is easier to treat, and are both of them treatable?
Oh, the terms, Therese, are used interchangeably. They're used kind of colloquially. Some people say mental illness, some people say mental disorder. I prefer the term mental disorder because an awful lot of the serious stuff that people look at and think, wow, this person is losing a grip on reality. This person is, in fact, thinking crazy things. Typically, there's not an illness involved in the strict sense of the word. There's not some pathogen up there in their brain, like a virus or a bacteria. It's a disorder in the neurological functioning of the brain. It's not working right. So I think that's a better use of the term disorder. If we say mental illness, I think part of the reason that term has gotten momentum is because psychology in its early days wanted to be like medicine. And so things that are disorders in living, we call them illnesses. So we say that person has a mental illness. If someone is seriously depressed, we say, well, they have a mental illness. What's their mental illness? Well, they're depressed. They're seriously depressed. I don't like the term, for the most part, mental illness, although you can use it strictly. Let's say someone has encephalitis, which is, of course, an inflammation caused by either virus or bacteria on the brain. Well, that's an illness. There's something going on up there that's affecting that brain. Okay? If someone has a tumor or cancer, you could say that's a mental illness that is caused by the primary pathological thing, which is the tumor. So it's used interchangeably, and I think mental disorder is the more accurate term when you're talking about what most people think of as a psychosis or serious emotional condition. There you go, Therese. Thank you for the question. I appreciate it. I hope I didn't muddy the water too much. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. 877-57-EQUAL. Got time. Want to hear from you. We got time. I can address it. Sort of. Remember when I was in grad school, we had some research on expectations. And by that, I mean, that's a pretty broad word, but particularly as defined, the expectations that you're going to go to somebody who's an expert. And we talked about when people go to a therapist or a physician, what is the image they have of that person? Now, for example, the white coat or the stethoscope around the neck create kind of an authority, an expertise about that. And I thought, how can I extrapolate that to psychology, to therapy? And I realized what I need is an accent. I need an accent. So, for example, somebody comes in and is saying something to me, and I say, well, I suspect a loose apple in this noodle. with that Austrian accent, it kind of conveys, yeah, you know, this guy's got his roots in psychiatry back when. I don't know. I'll have to work on that. Okay. Molly called to say that she has had a negative experience of hospice. Now, I don't know if it's, it does. I'm going to look further in the note here. She doesn't like it. President Carter can go to hospice for 2 years and be there. I don't know the details on that, Andrew. Can you find that? I mean, did he go into hospice or did he actually go into some kind of setting that was a facility, either a memory care or something similar? I would not think he went into hospice. Hospice is usually reserved for those folks who are in their latter days or even weeks or months that are expecting that they will be passing. She said she knows a bunch of folks that she believes are fine, but going into hospice, they pass away a few days later. Well, the question becomes, are they fine? Who knows? Hospice isn't going to take you, for the most part, without a medical exam or medical history that says there isn't much more we can do. We've pretty much exhausted all of our interventions. So that would be my first question. She said that her granddaughter had attempted suicide. Wow. Was declared brain dead. Wow. And the doctors wanted to end her life. She said, we said no. I'm going to assume her parents and grandparents consulted each other. And she came out. She came out of hospice and is doing wonderful in life. And she said, that's why I think hospice is bad. Now, this raises the whole larger issue of end-of-life matters. There is a lot of controversy that sometimes the folks in charge of making these decisions, usually in a medical setting, are too quick to say, in fact, there's nothing more to do. We're keeping them alive artificially. That's it. Let's end these machines. But everybody probably knows a story or two that says, yeah, well, we resisted and this individual pulled out. Or they terminated the machines and the individual did not pass. So that does happen. That has happened. I think it's a minority of times. But it's interesting. I would love to know the details, Molly, if you want to call it. I'd love to know the details where this granddaughter of yours was declared brain dead. Now, again, brain dead is another controversial term, and we're starting to look at it like, okay, it was once considered, and if there's any physicians listening, I'd certainly love your input on this. It was once considered the actual designation of death, brain death. But there seems to be some indication that it's possibly a little more complicated than that in some cases. Now, if I'm wrong, which I don't think I am, but if I am, I want to know it. Now, I just got the note from Andrew Krucek, my producer man, that Jimmy Carter was in hospice care for 22 months. Huh. From February 2023 until he died on December 29th, 2024. Apparently, the decision to go into hospice care. Now, hospice care is not always in an environment away from the home. It can be in the home. Hospice care was chosen because they thought that President Carter was getting very near to his time on this earth. Well, he fooled him. Which kind of tells you it's tricky. It is tricky. And that is why the so-called death with dignity movement is not anywhere near as scientifically clear as its proponents would have you believe. I better take a break. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. If we do have any physicians or nurses or nurse practitioners, people in the medical field who can clarify my thinking on some of this. I know we have folks who are hospice workers, hospice nurses. I've had some as clients. Help me out. Give me your perspective. 877-57-EQUAL.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Granny, host of The Doctor Is In. Ave Maria Radio has been putting out fabulous Catholic teaching, but the equipment we've got is aged. Like me, needs a lot of help. Some of the stuff is just hard to replace anymore. If you go to AveMariaRadio.net, please, for a donation, for the equipment to reach much farther. You're not just donating, you're broadcasting hope.
Remember to take a minute this week to thank a priest you know for all the blessings he shares through his vocation. Our priests work tirelessly to bring us the sacraments and help us on our journey to heaven. Let's encourage them and express our gratitude for all of their sacrifices, like thank you for baptizing our children. Nominate your priest at thankyouforyourpriesthood.com, a new contest every month through September 2025, brought to you by Diocesan, your Catholic advertising and communications company.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
I got the responding right away quick. This is the kind of power I never had when I was in college. I used to say, okay, well, if any of you girls want to give me a call to help me understand this term paper, which was really an excuse to get to talk to them. So Molly from Oklahoma is going to answer my question. Hi, Molly.
Your question regarding 6 months. Of
yes,
life.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that when I was in home health care a number of years ago, I'm retired now, but it was supposed to be 6 months, but then there was such a group of elderly people that were not necessarily dying. So they changed the law so that it's not required for 6 months, but just like if they're elderly. And I mean, there were some really great hospice nurses that helped one of my clients that wasn't even dying. I mean, she was just elderly and she just needed some help with stuff, and they did a great job. So, I mean, it is just basically if they're frail or if they're, you know, dementia or whatever. So they kind of help with, yes, they help with end of life, but they can also help with just the elderly too.
So that's kind of evolved then, Molly, right? I mean, the understanding
of
hospice
in the last 15 years, I think.
I didn't really keep up with that. That's interesting. So anybody who is at a point in life where they can't take care of themselves for whatever the reason, medically or cognitively, could be eligible for hospice care.
Yeah, I mean, for my client, it was like a, you know, what is it called? Bed sores and that sort of thing. So they were able to do more aggressive help than opposed to, you know, just something from the hospital. So that was, you know, just things like that. So, I mean, I know that there are, like, home care services that are not necessarily hospice, but then there are the hospice groups that are specifically for end of life, but then I think there are some, you know, that are a little bit more broader terms.
Well, that's great. Molly, thank you for helping me with that. I appreciate that. You guys are wire services for me. So I learn an awful lot. I've always said that. I learn more from the folks who call in than they learn from me. So I appreciate that. Thanks, Molly. Okay, let's see. Ginger's... Okay, before I go to Ginger, this was put up by Andrew. Average length of time that a person on Medicare spends in hospice in the U.S. before dying was 95 days. Oh, wow. Okay. Hospice care... by many people has been viewed as an end-of-life care to help those of who need it spend the final weeks or months of life in comfort. But research has shown it can actually help people live longer once they're in hospice care. Example, for those who received hospice care for certain cancers or heart failure lived an average of 29 days longer than those who didn't go into hospice care. Now, I would imagine it is the very, very supportive, clear, one-on-one, and I would even go so far as to say probably the human contact, which is salutary. Okay? Oh, let me see. We've got I just wanted to add to the hospice care. Let's go to Lori. Lori from Akron, Ohio. Hi, Lori. Oh, he's still talking to Lori? All right, he's still typing. Let's go to Karen from Portland. Karen from Portland. Hi, Karen.
This is Karen.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi. Okay, first of all, I'm so glad you're covering this topic, you know, the brain death thing. I don't know if you've heard about the situation that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is calling attention to about the fact that hospitals all over the country are pulling the plugs way too early because they want to get their hands on people's organs. And there are cases where people have survived. In fact, there's one famous one that I think RFK Jr. brought up, where he was actually alive. And they were given no anesthesia, and they were getting ready to cut his organs out of him. And I don't know if the family intervened or what, but he's alive today. This is a real issue, and people need to be really careful about it.
Well, I'm glad it's coming out, and I'm glad we have someone who is saying, yeah, and that's always been kind of the unspoken, which is, yeah, I heard Father Spitzer call it the duty to die. In other words, all right, come on, man, you're using up resources, you're a burden to people, you got to think about this. And yes, there definitely, I think, are people, that's why it's so important to have a durable power of health attorney, so that those decisions are made by someone who knows you, loves you, and believes as you do, as opposed to putting it into the hands of folks who, in fact, may not at all look at life in its eternal perspective like you would. That's exactly right, Karen. I'm glad it's getting some attention. Okay? Thank you. Thank you, dear. Let's go to Lori again. She wants to add something to this. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear me.
I hear you, dear.
All right. Well, I just wanted to add to what Molly was saying, and what she said was accurate, but what I have also learned from helping a friend get into hospice is that it's basically making a decision to end hospitalization. So you want to be at home or in a hospice facility, and if something comes up where you get a fever or, you know, urinary tract infection, they're just going to treat you at home, at your facility, but they're not going to transfer you to a hospital. So you're giving up that idea of going to a hospital to get better. And the other thing is, just because you're on hospice doesn't necessarily mean you're do not resuscitate. They have different levels of that. DNRCC is comfort care only, and there's another one where it's VNR, but they would put you on a ventilator. So it's pretty tricky and complicated, and I imagine it varies from state to state. So you want to be informed and make sure you know what you're doing. But as far as I know, there's really no limit to how long somebody can be on hospice. And they can go off it if they decide, you know what, I'm getting better, and I do want to go to the hospital if something happens to me.
I got it. Lori, how do you know all this? Did we lose Lori? Yeah, sounded like she dropped. Okay, Brandon, you call.
I'm
there
here.
There you go. Okay, how do you know all this?
We had a good friend at our. We had a good friend at our church who we helped through these, navigate these things. I was a nurse also, and back in the day.
I got
you. So I know something of this, but it was primarily through helping my friend navigate this.
All right. Thank you, Lori, so very much. Brandon, you call back. You'll be first up. I'll tell you that, okay? That may be something I saw on an e-person. This is Dr. A. Thank you so very much for joining me. Appreciate it so very much, and thank you again for your help, Walk with God.
For information on Dr. A's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.